بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا عبادي الذين آمنوا إن أرضي واسعة فإياي فاعبدون. كل نفس ذائقة الموت ثم إلينا ترجعون. والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لنبوئنهم من الجنة غرفا تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها نعم أجر العاملين. الذين صبروا على ربهم يتوكلون. وكأين من دابة لا تحمل رزقها الله يرزقها وإياكم وهو السميع العليم. ولئن سألتهم من خلق السماوات والأرض وسخر الشمس والقمر ليقولن الله فأنى يؤفكون. الله يبسط الرزق لمن يشاء من عباده ويقدر له إن الله بكل شيء عليم. ولئن سألتهم من نزل من السماء ماء فأحيا به الأرض من بعد موتها ليقولن الله قل الحمد لله بل أكثرهم لا يعقلون. وما هذه الحياة الدنيا إلا له ولعب وإن الدار الآخرة لهي الحيوان لو كانوا يعلمون. فإذا ركبوا في الفلك دعوا الله مخلصين له الدين فلما نجاهم إلى البر إذا هم يشركون. ليكفروا بما آتيناهم وليتمتعوا فسوف يعلمون. أولم يروا أنا جعلنا حرما آمنا ويتخطف الناس من حولهم أفبالباطل يؤمنون وبنعمة الله يكفرون. ومن أظلم ممن افترى على الله كذبا أو كذب بالحق لما جاء أليس في جهنم مثوى للكافرين. والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا وإن الله لمع المحسنين. InshaAllah, today we're going to complete Surah Al-Ankabut. We're starting today from ayah number 56 of Surah Al-Ankabut. And there's a few various topics that are going to be discussed in the lesson today, inshaAllah. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He addresses the humans and says, Ya ibadiya alladhina amanu, O my slaves who have iman, Inna ardi wasi'atun, فَإِيَّا يَفَعْبُدُونَ. Indeed, my earth is vast, it's wide, so only worship me, only worship me. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically telling us that if in the place that you are living, you have a problem in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you have difficulty, if the government is not helping you, and you are being persecuted, then there is no need for you to stay there. You can move from there, go to a place where you are allowed to worship. And this is the subject of another verse in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ ظَالِمِ أَنفُسِهِمْ قَالُوا فِيمَ كُنْتُمْ. Indeed, those people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them death while they were doing dhulm upon their own selves, meaning they were disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the question will be, فِيمَ كُنْتُمْ, what were you doing? I mean, why is it that you are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And they will say, قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضَعْفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. They will say that we were being persecuted on the earth. We were oppressed on the earth. The response will not be, oh, okay, that's okay then. You were persecuted, so you couldn't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that's excusable. No. The response will be, قَالُوا أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا. Wasn't the earth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala vast that you could have done hijrat somewhere else and migrated somewhere else and worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that place? So this will be the response. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the same issue and says that my earth is very vast. You should go to that place where you can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ease if you are having difficulty in the place that you are living. So the words, Allah says, Ya ibadi. Ya, it's very common in the Quran, the Arabic language. When you are calling somebody, you say the word Ya, Ya Zaydu, Ya Rajulu. That means, oh, such and such. Here, Ya Ibadi, oh, my slaves. Ibad is the plural of Abd. And when you say Ibadi, it means my slaves. Anything that you put Ya at the end of, like that, it becomes like possessive to the first person. Kitabi, my book. Ibadi, my slaves. Oh, my slaves, oh, my servants. Alladhina amanu, those that had iman. Inna, indeed, ardi, my earth. Again, the same thing. My earth. Ard means earth. Wasi'atun, it is vast. The word, the root word is waw, seen, and ayn. And we use the same word in Urdu. Wasi', wasi', and in Arabic, it's the same thing. Wasi'a, that it is very, very vast. And ard is one of those words in the Quran, one of those nouns in Arabic, that is mu'annath sima'i. That means there is no sign of it being feminine, but it is one of those nouns that are still feminine because we always heard the Arabs using the word ard as a feminine verb. Okay, so that's why wasi'a, when describing earth, is being brought as feminine. فَإِيَّايَ فَعْبُدُونَ, so only worship me. إِيَّايَ, it is used in to specify something and to give hasr to something, to put stress on something. So it's actually supposed to be فَعْبُدُونِي, فَعْبُدُونِي, but when you put إِيَّايَ, it basically brings that ya at the front, and the ya cannot stand by itself, so you have to put Iya next to it. So Iya ya fa'budun, only worship me. The same thing in Iyaka na'budu. It's actually na'buduka. And the rule in Arabic is taqdimu shay'in haqquhu at-ta'khir yufidul hasr. That you, when you bring something forward that is supposed to be delayed, that gives the that gives hasr, meaning you're stressing upon something. So it's, if you say na'buduka, it means we worship you, but you bring the ka forward, and the ka cannot stand by itself. So you have to put iya next to it. Iyaka na'budu. That means we only worship you. Wa iyaka nasta'in. We only seek your help. So here, iyaya fa'budun. O humans, O slaves of who have iman, only worship me. Iyaya fa'budun. The word fa'budun is actually u'buduni. U'buduni. U'budu, it's a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of course the root word is Ayn, Ba, and Dal, worship only me. So again, Ya ibadi alladhina amanu, O my slaves who have iman, indeed, my earth is very vast, only, so only worship me. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut, thumma ilayna turja'un. Every soul is going to taste death, then you're going to return to me. You're going to be returned to me. So, or to us. So, what is the point of this verse? It means that wherever you are, the death is going to catch up with you one day. Okay? So, the real thing that you have to strive for, you should not look at your worldly gains of living in the place that you're living, but you should be looking for what you are preparing for your hereafter, what you are preparing for your death, and your life after death. Okay? So, the main focus should of your life should always be, how can I please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where I'm living? If I cannot please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the place that I'm living, then where, what can I do to go to a place where I can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because at the end of the day, wherever I am, the death is going to catch up with me. I should prepare myself for the hereafter. So, kullu nafsin, every, kullu, it means every, nafs, nafs is of course every soul, and again nafs is one of those feminines that doesn't have any sign of it being feminine, doesn't have a tha at the end of it, it's one of those mu'annath sima'i, and that's why dha'iqah, dha'iqatul, it's feminine also, okay, when describing that. So every soul is going to taste death. Dha'iqah, it's from the word dhawq, dha, waw, and qaf is the root word. And dha'iqa, it means the one that tastes in the feminine tense. Okay? Dha'iqatul maut, and al-maut is of course death. And the root word is mim waw and ta. Thumma, thumma means then, ilayna, to us, turja'oon, you will be returned. And again, same concept here. It's supposed to be turja'oona ilayna, but ilayna is brought forward, and when it's brought forward, it means only to us you're going to return. You're going to return to only us. Where else are we going to run to? There is nothing, no other place that we're going to go to except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to face Him and stand in front of Him on the Day of Judgment. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَنُبَوِّئَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ غُرَفًا تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا نِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ. So, those people that didn't care about their residence and they prepared for the hereafter, what will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them with? This is what this verse is telling us. Those people that had iman and they did good deeds, لَنُبَوِّئَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ, we will prepare for them al-jannah, or we will give them the abode of jannah, غُرَفًا, and they will be in rooms. غُرَف, it is the plural of غُرْفَة, they'll be in rooms. تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, underneath them they'll be flowing the rivers. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, and they'll stay in them forever. نِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ, how good is the reward of the ones that worked and strived. Okay, so again, those people that strived for the hereafter, regardless of, you know, their worldly benefits that they were deriving in the place that they were living in, this is going to be their reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward them with an eternal and everlasting reward, which is gardens in which there will be anhar and there will be beautiful rooms and palaces, and this will be a reward that will be unsurpassed, and every person will be happy with the reward that he's getting. So the words وَالَّذِينَ, as and those people, آمَنُوا, that had iman, the root word is alif mim and noon, or hamza mim and noon, and they did good deeds, عَمِلُوا, the root word is عَيْن mim and lam, الصَّالِحَاتِ, the good deeds, لَنُبَوِّئَنَّهُمْ, the word is, the root word is ba, waw and hamza, لَنُبَوِّئَنَّهُمْ, that means that we will give them an abode of, we will make an abode for them from the Jannah, min al-Jannah, from Jannah, ghurafan, and what will that abode be? It will be rooms. Ghuraf, it is the plural of ghurfa, and tajri, the tajri means to flow, and the same word is used in Urdu, the word jari. That jari is from the same root word, jim, ra, and ya. Okay, tajri. Min tahtiha, underneath it, al-anhar, the al-anhar is the plural of nahr, and these anhar will be flowing underneath the rooms. So how can that be? Maybe there's the floors are going to have glass, and you can see underneath the glass, you will see the anhar flowing, or maybe even through the rooms that you'll see those anhar flowing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but this is something that, you know, the human being always has some kind of love for water and seeing water. You know, when you see the ocean or you see the waterfall or you see a river, you immediately have an attachment or an attraction to it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always, whenever He describes Jannah throughout the Quran, in most places, He will say, Jannatin tajri min tahtiha al-anhar. There's going to be the Jannat, and in those Jannat, there's going to be anhar. And in another place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes what kind of rivers there's going to be. There's going to be four kinds of rivers in Jannah. It's going to be one which is going to have crystal clear honey. Crystal clear honey, this is one of the rivers. And it's going to be Lebanon, lam yataghayyar ta'mu. One of them is going to be milk, whose taste never changes. It never goes bad. And water. Okay, with water which never becomes stagnant. And of course, the wine which doesn't make a person intoxicated. So these are the four kinds of rivers that a person is going to have. And according to some riwayat, it's mentioned that a person is going to be able to control those rivers. You know, if a person gets a house in front of a river, for example, okay, how long is he going to be attracted to the view? Okay, for 1 month or 2 months, he's going to enjoy the view. But then after that, it's going to become boring. This is a worldly concept that we all have. But, you know, however beautiful the view is, after a month, it becomes an everyday thing. So just imagine being able to change the view every single day. Okay, so a person is going to be able to change the view of his paradise in any way that he likes. It's going to be a remote control Jannah. You know, everything is going to be able to be changed. So those rivers will also, he can change the flow of the rivers or the view of the rivers, whichever way he pleases. Okay, khalidina fiha, they'll be staying there forever. Khalid, khalidina, the root word is kha, lam, and dal, and fiha, in it or in them, in the jannat. Ni'ma ajrul amilin. Ni'ma is from the af'alul madh. That means that whenever you have ni'ma in front of something, it's basically says how good. How good is this thing? Ni'ma hadha shay. Here, ni'ma ajrul amilin. How good is the reward of the people who did good deeds? Alladhina sabaru wa ala rabbihim yatawakkalun. Those people that had sabr and they had tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, we have the same concept here. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. It's supposed to be يَتَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ. But عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ is brought forward. Okay? So those people that had sabr and they had tawakkul only on their Lord, on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so الَّذِينَ, those people, صَبَرُوا, that had sabr, and the sabr is not just patience when a person is facing difficulty. There's all types of sabr. Istiqama, to be steadfast, to stay away from sins. And of course, when a person is going through problems, all these types of sabr, a person is supposed to build within himself. So those people that had all those forms of sabr, وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ, and only upon their Lord, they had tawakkul, they had trust. And again, sabaru, sabr, the root word is of course, sad, ba, and ra. And ala, on rabbihim, their Lord, yatawakkalun, they had tawakkul, they had trust. The root word of yatawakkalun is waw, kaf, and lam. And that's why we have the root word, from that root word, in Urdu, we call an attorney, wakil. Wakil, because we rely on him to do the work for us, and he is basically our attorney, he is doing what we tell him to do. So that root word, waw, kaf, and lam, from that is tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ دَابَّةٍ لَا تَحْمِلُ رِزْقَهَا اللَّهُ يَرْزُقُهَا وَإِيَّاكُمْ. Now, after telling us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that basically you should be concentrating on worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person thinks to his mind, well, I have my job here, I have my business here, I have my, you know, whatever I have here. And how is it that I can leave this place? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers that question in a very beautiful way. And says, there are so many creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that do not carry their rizq about with them. You know, how many creatures carry their rizq? And nowadays we see these migratory birds, you know, coming from the north and they're heading towards the south. How many of them are carrying their luggage with them? None of them is carrying any luggage with them. None of them is carrying any food with them. They just go and they find their food. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them their rizq. So why is it, O human being, that you are just so worried about your rizq? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who sustains all the creatures. All the creatures that you see, all the creatures that you don't see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sustaining them. You know, within a square foot, there are so many millions of organisms and germs and bacteria. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sustaining every single one of them. There is a scientific program that I saw once or I heard on radio, that within one square inch, there are so many organisms that there are more organisms in that square inch than the number of human beings that have ever existed on the face of the earth. In one square inch. So then, just think of all of the earth and how many organisms there are. And plankton, and germs, and bacteria, and viruses, and the creatures in the sea, and the creatures in the sky. And which one of them is basically accumulating his rizq and sustenance? There are very few. The ones that hibernate during the winter, that gather some food for a little while. But other than that, most of them, they don't carry their rizq about with them and carry their sustenance about with them. When they need to eat, they eat, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for them. So Allah says, وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ دَابَّةٍ لَا تَحْمِلُ رِزْقَهَا. How many creatures there are that don't carry their rizq and their sustenance with them. But Allah يَرْزُقُهَا وَإِيَّاكُمْ. Allah provides for them, and also you. He also provides for you, especially He provides for you. And basically the human being is, you know, one of those creatures that eats meat and it eats vegetables. Any creature that you see, it has a specific diet, a few things that it can eat. But the human being, all of the earth has been made for the human being. There are a few things that have been prohibited, but other than that, the majority of the things, the human being can eat it. Okay, so Allah says, Allahu yarzuquha wa iyyakum. Allah provides for them, for those creatures, and especially you. Wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. He is the one who hears everything and he knows everything. Ka'ayyin is, it means how many. It's just like kam. Wa ka'ayyin is, it means how many. Min dabatin, from the creatures. Dabba means creatures or animals. La tahmilu rizqaha, that they don't carry their rizq. La tahmilu, they don't carry. The word, root word is haml. Ha, meem, and lam. A woman who is pregnant is called in Urdu hamila. Okay? Why? Because she is carrying. Hamila. She is carrying a baby. So it's from that root word. Ha, meem, and lam is the root word. And la tahmilu, that they don't carry rizqaha, their rizq, their sustenance. Allahu yarzuquha, Allah provides for it. The root word of yarzuqha is of course ra, za, and qaf. Wa iyyakum, and especially you. Wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim, and he is as-sami', he is the one who is consistently hearing and he knows everything. The root word of sami' is seen, meem, and ayn, and the root word of alim is ayn, lam, and meem. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَسَخَّرَ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ فَأَنَّا يُؤْفَكُونَ. And if you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, and he provided the moon and the sun and the moon, indeed they will say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأَنَّا يُؤْفَكُونَ. So where are they being, where are they going astray? Where are they going astray? So basically this, the subject changes a little bit. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the misconceptions that the Quraysh had about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you ask them the question, they would always say, you know, if you ask them who is your provider, who provides for you, who does this for you, who does that, they say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then why do you worship all the rest of these idols? So same as the Hindus, they if you ask them, you know, what you believe in. They say, well, there's one Bhagwan. There's only one God. But then all of these others are minor godlings or gods that help that one Bhagwan. So, you know, that's why, you know, this is similar to what the Mushrikeen of Makkah used to say. Okay? There is one God, they used to say. But this one helps for the rain. This one helps for the crops. This one helps for this. This one helps for that. So, but the main line was, the main bottom line was, whenever they used to get into any trouble, they always used to call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So, Allah says that look at this stupidity and this foolishness. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ, if you ask them who created the heavens and the earth and provided the sun and the moon, most certainly they will say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَنَّا يُفَكُونَ. Why is it that they're going astray? Where are they going astray? Why is it that they don't understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that needs to be worshipped? Okay? So, wala'in, and certainly, if you ask them, sa'alta hum, sa'alta, you ask. Sa'alta, you ask, hum, them. If you ask them, man khalaqa as-samawat, who created, khalaqa, created as-samawat, the skies and the earth, wa sakhara shamsa, sakhar means to provide. We say in Urdu, musakhar kar dena. Sakhar, that's from the same word. Okay? Seen, kha, and ra is the root word. Wa sakhar ashamsa. Ashams is, of course, the sun, wal qamar, and the moon, the full moon. Most certainly they will say Allah. لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ and لَيَقُولُنَّ it is, the root word is قَوْلْ قَافْ وَأَلَّامْ. Most certainly they will say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَنَّا يُؤْفَكُونَ why is it that they're going astray? اللَّهُ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَقَدِرُ لَهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He spreads the rizq to whom He wants from His slaves, and He sometimes يَقْدِرُ لَهُ, He tightens it or He estimates it. Basically, sometimes Allah spreads it to whom He wants, and sometimes He gives in measures. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is knowledgeable of everything. So, this is the answer to them, that Allah is the provider, He is the sustainer. We have quite a way to go, so I'm going to stop the word-for-word thing in a minute so that we can finish the surah, inshallah. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ نَزَّلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَحْيَى بِهِ الْأَرْضَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِهَا لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعَقِلُونَ. And if you ask them, who sent down from the sky water, and with the water he made the earth alive after its death, most certainly they will say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, so if you ask them first, who is the one who created the heavens and the earth, they say Allah. And you ask them who sends down the water from the sky, they will say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But again, they still make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is it? So, if you ask them who sent down from the sky water and he made the earth alive after its death, most certainly they will say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. Tell them, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. But most of them, they don't have the understanding and they don't pay attention to this. وَمَا هَذِي الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهْوٌ وَلَعِبٌ. And this worldly life, it is merely waste and play. This is what this worldly life is. Okay, day after day we hear about the death of somebody. What happened? Okay, nothing goes with them. They spent their life in either waste and play, or they did something in their life which benefited them in the hereafter. Okay, so this is the thing that we have to understand, that this life is for striving for the hereafter, and is not a life that we should waste in games and playing and wasteful activities. وَمَا هَذِي الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُمْ وَلَعِبْ وَإِنَّ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. Indeed, the abode of the hereafter is the real life. The Prophet ﷺ used to say, اللهم لا عيش إلا عيش الآخرة. There is no عيش, there is no life except the life of the hereafter. That is the true life. That is what you call life, which is never ending and everlasting. Something that is about to finish, we don't know in the next minute whether we're going to be alive or not. You know, we should always, we have this, as humans, we forget. And, you know, maybe that's a good thing, we sometimes forget that we have, you know, we're going to die soon. Because if we were always constantly thinking about it, we would not be able to live our life. Okay? So, if we think about it, we don't know what's going to happen in the next minute. Look what had just happened in Pakistan a few days ago. You know, one minute a person is alive, the next minute dead, right in front of our eyes. There's on Saturday, a soccer player, 34 years old, he's a professional soccer player in Scotland. He basically just died on the soccer field. And that has happened so many times. You expect the soccer players to be very fit and agile, and you know, they don't have any problems with their heart. But this guy, he just, at 34 years old, he just collapses and passes away. So we don't know really what is going to happen in the next minute. So what are we supposed to do? We have to prepare for our hereafter, which is the real life. This is what this ayah is saying. وَإِنَّ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. The abode of the hereafter, the last abode, that indeed is the real life. That is the real life. لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. If only the people knew. فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعَوُا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. When they ride in the boats, they make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only sincerely making the deen for Him. Then when he gives them or saves them towards the land, they commit shirk with him again. This example has been given again and again throughout the Quran, particularly about the mushrikeen of Makkah, and even for any person who is weak of iman, what happens is that when that person is in trouble, then he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, makes dua to him, and he comes to the masjid, and he is very particular about the salat, and so on and so forth. But then when he's out of trouble, then he forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is an example that of the Quraysh, the mushrikeen of Makkah, when they used to ride in boats, and they faced a storm, they used to make dua only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah save us. But then when they come onto the ocean, they start or to the land, they start committing shirk again. Okay, so this is the same thing with us. We should always worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether we are in difficulty or in ease, we always have to keep our obligations to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible. So again, فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ, when they ride in the boats, they make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making the deen mukhlis for him, sincerely for him. And when he saves them to the land, then they start committing shirk again. لِيَكْفُرُوا بِمَا آتَيْنَاهُمْ, so that they show ingratitude to that what we've given them. وَلِيَتَمَتَّعُوا, and so that they benefit. فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ, it is very close that they're going to find out. So why do they start committing shirk? Why is it that they forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because they just want to do what they want to do in this worldly life, and they want it to be ungrateful, they want to commit shirk, they want to do what they want to do in their life, and basically just benefit from it. Allah says, فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ, it's very close that they're going to find out what is their benefit, and what is the true reality of their life, once they leave this world. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْفْ أَنَّا جَعَلْنَا حَرَمًا آمِنًا وَيُتَخَطَّفُ النَّاسُ مِنْ حَوْلِهِمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this last verse, the last couple of verses, addresses the people of Quraysh and says to them that look how many blessings we gave you. And again, this is, we should also think about ourselves in this same kind of situation in this country, that we have so many blessings. Allah addresses the people of Quraysh and says to them that أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا, do they not see أَنَّا جَعَلْنَا حَرَمًا آمِنًا, that we made the haram a place of peace for them. We made it a place of peace. The rule was of the haram that it always was a sanctuary. And a person who entered the haram, he was protected and he was at peace. But outside haram, there were wars and fighting and feuding and bloodshed and killing and everything. Allah says that look how we made the haram and basically the Kaaba and the surrounding area a place of peace for you. And وَيُتَخَطَّفُ النَّاسُ مِنْ حَوْلِهِمْ, all around you people are being chosen, you know, picked up and basically snatched, meaning their life is being snatched away from them, all around Makkah. But in Makkah itself, the people of Quraysh have been given peace by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yet those same Quraysh, they continue to commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is that? You know, Allah is giving you this peace in your land, and yet you commit shirk and you are ungrateful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in this country the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech, the freedom to practice our religion, and nobody is going to come and close down a masjid just because you are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is it that we are ungrateful and we're not taking full advantage of this and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this is the question that Allah asked them. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا جَعَلْنَا حَرَمًا آمِنًا وَيُتَخَطَّفُ النَّاسُ مِنْ حَوْلِهِمْ أَفَبِالْبَاطِلِ يُؤْمِنُونَ وَبِنِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ يَكْفُرُونَ. So they have iman in batil, despite the fact that Allah has given them aman in the haram and in Makkah, they still have iman on batil, on the falsehood, and they worship the statues, and in the same sanctuary that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them peace, they are putting 360 statues and worshipping them instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What kind of nonsense is this? What kind of logic is this? أَفَبِالْبَاطِلِ يُؤْمِنُونَ, so they have iman in al-batil and in falsehood, and وَبِنِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ يَكْفُرُونَ, and they are being ungrateful for the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah gave them so many so many blessings for the because of the fact that they are around this holy sanctuary. People used to come and perform Hajj from the days of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and because of that, Mecca was a place which has a lot of economy, a lot of money coming in, a lot of people visiting, and a lot of trade. And because of that, the Quraysh were very, very rich, and they were very well off. So again, Allah says, وَبِنِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ يَكْفُرُونَ The blessings that Allah has given you, you are rejecting them and denying them. Think about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنِ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا أَوْ كَذَّبَ بِالْحَقِّ لَمَّا جَاءَ أَلَيْسَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَثْوًا لِلْكَافِرِينَ And who can be more zalim, more wrong than that person who makes wrong accusations against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or denies the truth when it comes to him? So those same Quraysh are being addressed again, that the truth is coming to you. Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is bringing you the truth, and he is reminding you again and again that how Allah has blessed you from the time of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam until now, and you continue to do the biggest dhulm and the biggest kufr is rejecting the truth when it comes to you. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمْ Who can be more zalim and wrong than that person who makes false accusations against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or denies the truth when it comes to him? أَلَيْسَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَثْوَى لِلْكَافِرِينَ Isn't there in Jahannam a place for the people who do this kufr? Do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to punish you for this? Yes, you will be punished for this. So, the blessing that a person has, he should take full advantage of the blessing and he should use it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The peace that we have in this country in terms of our being allowed to worship, we should take full advantage of it and we should not fall into this trap of just dunya, dunya, dunya and just worldly thing and money and just forgetting about what the purpose of our life is. We should never do that. We should think first and foremost, what am I doing in my life to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And secondly, is my worldly needs and my necessities that I have to fulfill. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ The lesson started with those people that strive to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they do what it takes to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if it means to leave the country that they're living in, the place that they're living in, and migrate to another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He will open the ways for those people that strive in His path. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا Those people that strive in us means in our deen, for the preservation of their deen, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most certainly, the wording again is, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا Most certainly, we will guide them towards our ways. Not even sabil. Subul. Subul is the plural of sabil. Most certainly, we will guide them towards our ways. So, once you have decided that you are going to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then don't look left or right. Just do it. Do what you have to do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is promising that once you stand up with this effort and to do what it takes to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will open up the way for you. And the same thing happened to the Quraysh, to the Muslims. They left Makkah al-Mukarramah and they went to Madinah al-Munawwarah with nothing in their hands. They left everything behind, their money, their properties and their lands. And ultimately what happened? They were better off in Madinah al-Munawwarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the way for them. There's a hadith narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سافروا تربحوا Make safar, make travels, you will gain profit from this. وصوموا تسحوا And fast, you will become healthy. وغزوا تغنموا Or تغنموا That and make غزوات and strive in the battles, you will get غنائم. So, safar is something that a person can do if a person needs to travel for the sake of his rizq and for the sake of his deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide him with the sustenance. And this is what it says here, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا Those people that strive in our path, most certainly we're going to open up the ways for them. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is with the people that do good and they please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With this, the surah Al-Ankabut finishes. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Subhan rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun alal mursalin. Alhamdulillahi.